So we turn to words of Scripture and to Luke chapter 9, where at verse 28 we read the story of the Transfiguration. About a week after Jesus had said these things, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We'll make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. The next day, Jesus and the three disciples went down from the hill, and a large crowd met Jesus. A man shouted from the crowd, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, my only son." A spirit attacks him with a sudden shout and throws him into a fit so that he foams at the mouth. It keeps on hurting him and will hardly let him go. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered, "How unbelieving and wrong you people are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I have to put up with you?" Then he said to the man, "Bring your son here." As the boy was coming, the demon knocked him to the ground and Jesus gave a command to the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. All the people were amazed at the mighty power of God. The people were still marveling at everything Jesus was doing when he said to his disciples, "Don't forget what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to the power of men." But the disciples did not know what this meant. It had been hidden from them, so that they could not understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about this matter. Amen. And may God bless these words in our hearing this day.
We're having a little trouble with the mic. I'm sure that Donald will reappear. But let me just say a word about Donald.
I'm here. I'm here in your pulpit.
You have never been up in the pulpit before. This is what he calls preaching in.
You're done now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so let it be. Amen. Today, as Beverly has said, is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany, the last Sunday before Lent, before we begin our journey towards Easter. It's a story about a high point. And yet, I didn't often use the pulpit in Morvern and Ardgour and Strontian. But I thought here I should use the pulpit, and I thought on a day when we're talking about mountaintop experiences, it would be good to have a high vantage point. We often talk about mountaintop experiences, the high moments in life. And yesterday was one of them, wasn't it? As you welcomed your new minister. A high point for the congregation, for the presbytery, for the people of this and neighbouring communities as a new ministry begins. Epiphany. It's a word that means appearance. And your new minister has appeared among you. Perhaps a little epiphany as we reflect on the mountaintop moment of your journey here. Yesterday was the second induction that I have been at in the last 72 hours or so. I was down in Glasgow on Thursday evening for a friend's induction there. So I've travelled a few miles these recent days. I've also experienced something of those high moments in the life of the church. Every induction service always takes me back to my ordination and first induction 25 years ago. And there are always moments for that tingle down the spine, that awareness of otherness, and a reminder of the privilege to have been called to ministry and to lead God's people on a journey. A journey that has its ups and its downs. And there are moments when I wonder why I bother. And there'll be moments when Beverly might feel like that. And there'll be moments when she knows exactly why she's here among you here. The induction services, the presbytery services, I think always bring an amazing sense of being with the whole company of the church on earth and in heaven. Gathered here today is the church of Jesus Christ. And we share with the whole company of heaven. We think of congregations up and down the length of our country gathering to worship this day. And we're a part of it. We're a part of something big. And even in the midst of talk of decline around the kirk, we're caught up in something that is of God. Today, the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany began as we reflected, as I'm sure you did, just after Christmas time, on the appearance of Jesus, the babe, to the wise men, to magi from the east. One of the hymns that we're going to sing later on in our service, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Actually, I had no sooner let Beverly know that I thought it would be an appropriate hymn, and I was arranging some hymns for my parishes back home, and I thought, which tune will we have it to? And then Peter phoned me, and I thought, oh, he's going to tell me all the hymns that they don't know and they don't like. And he did mention, he said, they're all fine, but Christ Whose Glory Fills the Sky, I'm wondering if we might change the tune. And I had been wondering what we might change the tune to. And his suggestion just after I put the phone down in our conversation, I thought, that is just wonderful. What a gift that on Transfiguration Sunday, at the end of the season of Epiphany, we're going to sing to a tune that we associate with the beginning of Epiphany. As with gladness, men of old, so we'll be singing Christmas carol tunes in February at the end of the season of Epiphany. A season in which, and I'm not sure what readings you'll have been journeying with here over the last couple of months, but perhaps in that season between Christmas and Easter, thinking about the life of Jesus and how God appeared. There was an epiphany moment in so many of those encounters with St. Simeon and Anna, with crowds who would gather, with disciples, to John the Baptist, his cousin, who would ask the question, is he the Messiah? Is he the one we have been waiting for? And so through the season of Epiphany, different stories that reveal something of God in Christ. Our reading today began with the words, after Jesus had said these things. And when we read something like that, it's always an encouragement to read another wee bit of the scriptures. What was it that came just before? What had Jesus just been saying? It was that moment when, with some of his disciples away up in the north of Israel, right up there at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said to his disciples, so what are folks saying? Are they understanding it? Who are they saying that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. But who do you say I am? Said Jesus to his disciples. And it was Peter who answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And as Jesus led his disciples south from that high point in Caesarea Philippi, he spoke about his suffering. He spoke about the things that would have to happen. He spoke about discipleship and said, if you're going to follow me, it's not going to be a walk in the park. If you're going to follow me, you have to deny self, you have to take up your cross. There's a cost in following. Those were the things that Jesus had been saying before he took three of his disciples up a hill for some peace, some quiet, some prayer, some reflection. Oh boy, did they get that day. And on the top of the mount, now known as the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples saw Jesus in a way that they had never seen him before. Jesus transformed, dazzling white. It was Jesus, the only one that was transformed that day. James and John and Peter would never forget it. They were changed, for they had an epiphany moment as God was revealed to them in Christ shining from the top of the mountain. This is my beloved Son, listen to him, the voice from heaven says. A mountaintop experience that they would never forget, and they wanted to cling to it. And Peter said, let's build three tents, Let's stay here. Let's hold on to the moment. I think often around the life of the church, we like to cling to moments. We like to keep things as they've aye been. But actually, Jesus wasn't for staying at the top of the mountain. And maybe there's a sense in which you, the good people of Altnahara and Far, are now thinking, we've got our minister. We can relax a wee bit now. Oh, the journey's just beginning. The hard work is just beginning. For you're now entering into a new chapter, a new season in which you continue that journey as disciples, as people being changed by encounter with God in Christ. I wonder if you were at the induction service yesterday, if you experienced something of that otherness of which I spoke earlier. I wonder if any of you felt that tingle down the spine. I wonder if there were moments in which you could hear God speak to you, challenging you, encouraging you. There were all kinds of words of support and encouragement, not just to Beverly, but to the whole people of God. The work's just beginning. And the high points of yesterday, the mountaintop experience of today as a new ministry begins, is just a beginning. And as Jesus led the disciples back down to the plains, back down to the places of need, to heal a boy possessed, so too Beverly will encourage you and lead you to the places of need in this community. But remember the high points. Remember yesterday. Remember today. Yesterday, Mary Stobel mentioned that life is a bit like the weather. And sometimes within the space of the same day, we have the brilliant sunshine and the rain that's not taking time to come down. Either our high points and there are low points in life. There are the mountaintop experiences and there are the wilderness moments. Constant refrain in the story of the unfolding of God's love for all people. We remember. Remember the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt. Remember the wilderness journey. Remember the low points as well as the high points. And maybe there are low points to reflect upon over recent years as you have journeyed without a minister. You've journeyed and you've continued to be a vibrant Christian presence in this place, in the ups and the downs of life. Remember the high points. Remember the low points. And as you journey forward, with Beverly as your minister, there'll be high points. There'll be times when everything is going really well. And there'll be times when the minister nearly knocks the lamp off the pulpit. There'll be times when things will go wrong. There'll be times when you'll say, Beverly, that's not how we do it here. And there'll be times when Beverly says, well, let's try something a wee bit different. She made some changes around my patch. As an outsider, she was very aware of not been able to find all the churches, let alone some of the people around the parish, and encouraged us to see about some signs just to point people to the church. And you know, in different ways, metaphorical ways, you will create signs, signposts to help people in their journey of life. Yesterday, a few hours before the induction service, I was at a junction on the road. And I stopped the car and I thought, which way do I go? And I knew I didn't want to go left to Hope. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to go straight ahead, which was signposted Tongue, or to take what seemed to be a very small road to the right. But it was signposted Betty Hill. So that's the way I went. What a beautiful road. And I'll enjoy going back that way this afternoon via Sire. But as I paused at that junction, a little amused that there's a place called Hope, I was thinking of the hope that we do bring as the church into the lives of our communities. Almost 6 years ago, I was inducted to my third charge to Strontian, Ardgour and Morvern in the Presbytery of Lochaber. A triple linkage charge which had been vacant for 5 years. And I remember the interim moderator saying to me after I had accepted the invitation to be minister-elect, he said, your being here brings hope to a people who sometimes have felt isolated and alone, and now they'll journey with you. There's a journey. There's an adventure of hope and faith and life, and I wish you, the congregation, and your minister, I wish you God's rich blessing as you make that journey with its ups and its downs, as you now look forward in the season of Lent beginning this coming week, as you look forward to Easter, as you look forward to celebrating resurrection and transformation, as you celebrate the difference, the transforming love that you can share in this place, in your lives, in your example, in your prayers, in your commitment to be the church. The church of our living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may God bless us all in these thoughts. And now we're going to sing the hymn number 114, Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise. And we're going to sing it to the familiar tune that we associate with the beginning of the season of Epiphany, as with gladness, men of old. The hymn number 114.
Christ, whose glory fills the sky.